Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Yours, mine, ours. I could do this for hours. Sit and talk to you for hours. I want to give you your flowers and some champagne showers. All the shrimp and lobster towers.
But it's it is Valentine's Day, ooh, or as the music suggests, Valentine's Day night. It is a day for a little extra emphasis on the one you love. And tonight, we are talking about black love and the key to keeping it alive and vibrant. My guests are Alfred and Sherelle Duncan, the Forever Duncan couple, now married for 5 years and some change. And Lakia L.B. Brandenburg, she's back, the wife coach and the creator and instructor of the Teach Me How to Be a Wife Intensive. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. This is one of my favorite days of the year. It is. Alfred and Sherelle, you guys are my heroes. You know that. You still hanging in there. I was looking at your website today. Alfred almost smiled. Well, welcome back, you guys.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you for having us.
And Lakia, thank you for coming back.
Always happy to be back, Harold. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You got that PhD in wifey now, right? Summa cum laude.
Look at you. Starting already.
Well, thank you all for joining the program. And look, happy Valentine's Day to all of you. So let's get into it. You know, for those of you who are not familiar with the Duncan story, the Forever Duncan story, you know, I'm just going to let you have at it, Alfred. Give me the cliff notes. Were you crazy? What happened 5 years and some change ago?
5 years and some change ago, I married the love of my life, but I did it differently. We weren't engaged at the time, so I proposed to her at 11 o'clock, and I threw her a surprise wedding at 6 p.m. with over 300 people there, and yeah, she was totally surprised. I got the dress done, and I did all of the arrangements, of course, with the help from a team. But, yeah, she was surprised, and it, you know, took the world by storm.
And I'm so glad she said yes, because that would have really been embarrassing.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of people say that. I think that if you're in a relationship with someone and you're really learning them, you know, you're really courting them accordingly, then you should know that they're going to say yes. I don't think it should be a guessing game when you ask someone to be your wife.
So you know what you know.
Yeah, I knew she was going to say yes.
Sherelle, it's been, as I said, 5 years and some change. What have you learned about black love and your marriage that you didn't know?
I've learned that everything that we go through separately or individually and have to deal with it collectively, we have to have a level of compassion and understanding. And also knowing that there's another perspective about this. Like, if it's about feelings, then there's more perspectives. And if it's the facts, then we focus on the facts. And then we move past that with any resolutions, if there is any issues. And those things are really hard to learn for some people if they haven't learned that, if they haven't had that experience in past relationships or even their upbringing, if they didn't see compassion or if they didn't see understanding or if they didn't receive that from their past significant others, it's hard to learn those things. And so if you are in love and you know that this person is your person, then you go to therapy about the things that you don't understand or the things that you can't quite get an answer to with your partner in your home or just you and that that person. And so with my husband, I call him Black. Everybody knows I call him Black. But with him, we decided that whenever we have an issue, and we're going to leave the home and talk about it, right? We'll go take a walk, or we'll go to our favorite restaurant. And that way it'll kind of ease if he's offended or I'm offended, but we can still display how we're feeling and all of the facts in a respectable manner, and also really hear each other without just talking, listening to respond. So I hope that answers your question. It's so much to that. That's such a fully loaded question, but I try my best to kind of break it down to our marriage.
And you really didn't have much to say. Let me... Welcome back. I'm back. Alfred, what have you learned about marriage and Sherelle and Black love over these 5 years plus?
That it's valleys and peaks, and that it's consistent work, and that it's on-the-job training. I heard you earlier say to the other guest that she has a PhD. And I honestly think that we're constantly learning. So it's really hard to be a master at this, because you're dealing with a person, and a person that has different personality, different upbringings. They're growing differently. So it's constant work. It's constant observation. It's constant communication. And, there's definitely going to be some valleys and peaks, regardless of the communication and regardless of the work that you're putting in. There's definitely going to be some times where you disagree, and you're going to have to learn how to work through them, empathetically.
Lakia, what do you believe it takes to be a good wife? And certainly that can't be the total key to Black love in 2022.
Yes. Well, let me first of all say also, Duncans, I love y'all. I love your story and what you stand for.
Thank you.
And yes, thank I love you so much. Everything that you represent. I can't believe it's been 5 years. So I have followed your story. So when it comes to being a wife, Harold, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to become what your husband needs in that season of your marriage. So when I think about, okay, the Bible tells us the man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, right? And it's about really understanding what that good thing looks like in that season. See, marriage happens in seasons.
Yeah.
So depending on what my husband and my marriage is calling for in this season, I might not like it, but it might be a season of sowing. I may have to put in a little bit more time. It may seem to be unfair. I might be stretched, but that's what my marriage needs in order for us to get to the next season. So it's really about understanding. Like, I'm Derek's wife, Errol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm Derek's wife. I have to understand what Derek needs as his wife in order for us to have the type of marriage that we desire.
But whose responsibility is that for you to understand that? Is it your responsibility to learn that, or is it his responsibility to tell you?
Well, this, we got to look at marriage, and I think that Duncan's hit on this. We have to look at marriage as it is, you're a student. You have to become a student of your spouse. So that means I am constantly learning Derek. He is constantly learning me. And we're learning and growing together. If you ever feel, no matter how long you've been together, I've been with Derek since I was 19, he was 20. Okay, we've been together over 20 years, but we're still in the position of learning each other. So when you remain as a student, there's always something new you can learn in that season of your marriage.
And then you also have to understand that people are constantly growing. So because they're constantly growing, you have to constantly learn.
Yep.
Well, my wife is today, she won't be next year. In the year following, So, I have to consciously try to learn who she is today and who she is next week and who she is next year and try to cater to that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810 on this Valentine's Day. We are talking about Black love and the key to keeping it alive and keeping it vibrant. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sherelle, how important do you believe Black love is to the culture, our community? And do you believe that you have a responsibility outside of your home because your marriage and your love to your husband is so public?
I absolutely believe I have, I believe I have an assignment. You know, I have an assignment to show our community that Black love is absolutely necessary. It is essential for our lives. Like, we've waited so long to be free and to live out loud and to be able to love our spouse publicly, that now that we have the freedom to do that, why not take advantage of that? And why not do it and embody Black love in everything that you do? Yesterday we were watching the Super Bowl, and we were in separate homes, and I immediately got so emotional because it was so Black, and I was like, I really wish that I was experiencing this with my husband. He was the first person that came to mind because that show embodied Blackness, and all I could feel was love just permeating through my body, and I just wanted to experience that with him because he's a musician, and I know he was just loving it. And so those are like just small things that displays Black love, the feeling, you know, the emotion, how your body feel, your soul, your mind, your heart, the way your heart beats when you think about somebody, the way you get butterflies in your stomach. I still get butterflies in my stomach. When we get off this interview, I'm going to have butterflies seeing him. Like, I know I'm going to be smiling like, oh my God, you were so good. And so those are the things I am constantly choosing to love my husband and be in love with him unconditionally. And I choose to do that because I've always wanted to create my own love story. I've seen my mom and my dad and my grandparents, you know, they've been married for a long time. And I wanted to create a love story. And I didn't always want to get married, but I knew that I was going to be with a Black man and that I was going to love, support, respect, and not play about him and not let society beat him down. And I was going to have his back because that will be my responsibility as a Black woman, to hold him up, to support him, and vice versa. So I embody Black love in everything that I do, the healing of it, just healing, going through healing with us and trying to deal with our traumas and overcome those and the trials and tribulations, and just to show him, you know, just small things, getting his favorite tea that he likes, or knowing when he's having a stressful day that he needs some time. So I'll send him away to a hotel for the day, and baby, I'll send you food and all of those things because I need you to be okay. I need you to be at peace because I want my Black man to be able to hold his head up high, to be bright, you know, and to feel like he's loved and supported and appreciated and definitely respected.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Black love today on the program. It is Valentine's Day and the keys to keeping that love alive. Let's go to Wanda. Wanda, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Wanda. What's on your mind?
Hi, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day. My absolute favorite day of the year. I love it. I love it. I love love. I love Black love. I try to promote Black love in my family. I have a family of married couples that have been married for years, and I'm so proud of my family. But I just want to say that there is a secret sauce. Everybody asks, what is the secret to marriage?
Well, give me the short recipe, Wanda. Give me the short recipe. Go right ahead.
Okay. Let me tell you what it is, Mr. Fisher, okay? Marriage is you accepting the other individual for who they are. You have to be okay with who they are. They are who they are. Yes, they will change and evolve, but they are who they are. And that means with their flaws, with their, you know, bald heads or whatever, you are accepting this person as they are, and they are accepting you. Because when you build up your Black man, he goes out into the world and he builds up others. I'm telling you, if you've got a man who is strong and is encouraged by his mm-hmm. wife, he is a role model for other men.
Well, thank you
so
for that, Wanda.
When you build that man up,
I appreciate it. I appreciate that short recipe. Is she right, Lakia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Wanda is talking about our expectations, too. You know, a lot of times we have unrealistic expectations and that we bring them into our relationship that just cause unnecessary stress. And so it's really about, again, becoming who you need to be, and whether that's being patient with your spouse, whether that's being lovable, right, on the Lover's Day, whether it's being understanding, really understanding who you need to be for your spouse. So absolutely, she's right.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Black love and the key to keeping it alive, keeping it vibrant. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Certainly, as always, we're taking your phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. So if you, especially if you have a question about how it's done. And real quick, Lakia, before I go to the break, and I want you to, we may obviously have to think about this on the other side. Yeah. From your perspective, how important is romance and passion long term in a marriage? And whose responsibility is that? And I say that because a lot of times when you talk to men about romance, you get the eye roll. Ooh, you know, and a lot of them really knock Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's for women. Your thoughts about that?
Right. Yeah, but, well, I think honestly you got to define what romance looks like in your relationship. Marriage is what you created to be. You can be romantic as a man, as a female you can be romantic, but I think you got to define. And when you say whose responsibility, it takes two. It's just as much as her responsibility as it is for him. I just finished a 7-day Make Him Feel Love challenge. This is a challenge that I challenged my lady, Sherelle, you got to get in on it. Don't tell him you're doing it, though. But it's to really do small deposits of love each day. That's me being romantic without the flowers and the candy and whatever. But these things that I were doing for my husband daily showed him love.
Mm. I want to hear the rest of that on the other side of this break. We are talking about Black love on this Valentine's Day. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment, including this one via podcast on WHUR.com. And you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, hang on. That includes Mark calling from Waldorf. We're going to talk to you. Stretches in for John Mons with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds.
The things that I've been through.
So welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about Black love and the key to keeping it alive and vibrant on this Valentine's Day. My guests are Alfred and Sherelle Duncan, the Forever Duncan couple, now married for 5+ years, and Lakia L.B. Brandenburg, wife coach and the creator and instructor of the Teach Me How to Be a Wife Intensive. If you have a comment or a question, give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before the break, we were talking about romance and passion. So, mm-hmm. Lakia, how do you keep that alive? I think you're one of the perfect people to talk about this. And I ask for a really specific question. You say you and your husband have been together for 20 years. And you know, sometimes, you know, one of the things, I'm sure that, you know, your cooking is great, but sometimes, you know, some folks may say, gosh, oatmeal again.
Mm-hmm.
And watch it, Alfred. You're not supposed to laugh about that because it's only been five. You
yeah,
love
you still love
oatmeal. You don't get a chance to ask for pancakes right now. Give it another 5 years, you can have the pancakes. But right,
oh my goodness.
You know, Lakia, you know, how do you you know, how do you serve up the waffles or the, you know?
Listen, you got listen. Okay, we've been together for 20. We've been married for 12.
Okay, right. So right. But that's still, you know, you all are in there.
We in there.
You're in there.
one thing I can tell you, and it's something that I teach my wives, is that there's something about you that got his attention in the beginning. There's something about him, right? It's the it factor. A lot of times we stop being his it girl. Sherelle, I'm probably sure you can relate to this. You become Mr. and Mrs. Mary. You become that boring old couple who go to work, go to church, go to wherever, you know, just do the day in, the kids, all of that. And you lose the spark because they are no longer the priority. Everything else becomes a priority. So when it comes to really keeping that spark alive, you got to start doing something different. If you want something different, y'all, we got to what? Do something different. And I challenge my ladies to show up differently in how you walk and how you talk. If he's used to seeing you a certain way, change it up a little bit. How are you talking to him, baby? Are you being Mrs. Tame Tongue or not? You know, like really just changing the essence of who you are so that you can keep that relationship fresh and new.
Let's see what Mark has to say. Mark, calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind?
Hey, hello.
Hey, I'm here. Go right ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm just a black man in love for 40 years, married for 27 years with my wife. A couple things I've learned along the way is sometimes compromise, sometimes compromise doesn't work. You just do whatever she says. That's what works sometimes. that one was free right there. That one was free. when you with somebody a long time, I really like that student of your spouse comment. I really, really like that. Because you learn things, and then you do things organically. You know, a lot of people like mechanical romanticism, but, okay, long black love, you got to, you know, when my wife makes banana sausage and eggs in the morning, you talking about a romantic Saturday morning. You know, just speaking of oatmeal. But, yeah, I really like the conversation. It's hard to define, but when you got it, you really got it, and extended family really helps because when you got a good marriage, it helps your family, and then you feel that, and that's a responsibility, and it's a lot of stuff like that. So just keep it going.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, you know, I was asking Lakia, but I guess I should ask Alfred about this. What is the most romantic thing that you have done for Sherelle outside of the day you got married? Because, I mean, honestly, you know, you are the GOAT, okay? And, you know, Tom Brady has nothing on you.
So, me and my wife, we love experiences. So we're not really into, like, you know, real expensive gifts. We're more so about experiences. So in different situations, like this has happened over 5 years, of course, but throughout those 5 years, we've surprised each other with, like, trips, but really detailed in the trips. Like, it's not just going on a trip. For instance, we went to Baltimore, and we stayed at a hotel. So our first date was riding a bike, and we were riding bikes, and then we ran across this baseball field with little kids playing, so we stopped, had some hot dogs, all of that, then got back on the bike. So during one of our anniversaries, I booked a hotel in Baltimore. The hotel I knew had bikes, so we rode the bikes, but I also bought tickets to see the Orioles play. But she didn't know, you know, that we were going, and we just rode past the stadium. And then I said, let's park the bikes, and then we just went in and watched the game. You know, and that whole weekend was filled with surprises. We had, like, a helicopter ride. But those type of things, you know, we're more about the experience. And she does a lot of things for me as well. Like, she just surprised me with a we had a vow renewal in Jamaica where it was a surprise vow renewal. She kind of did the same thing for me, the same that I did for her for the Forever Duncan wedding, where I didn't know anything. She got my clothing. She just arranged everything, and it was a surprise for me. So, I mean, for us, we just about the experiences. Like, the expensive gifts don't really do nothing for us.
So now I need to go back to Lakia about this because, you know, Alfred is my kind of dude, okay, because...
That was good, Alfred. That was good.
I'm serious. I am so deadly serious about that, because he just listed. He's got a list, and then you hear, because the paper flipped over to the next page, uh-huh. and he's got a list, and I know, Lakia, that you often talk about what wives need to do, but as a man, and I talk to guys about these things sometimes, and I always find it mystifying that men forget birthdays, they forget Valentine's Day, they forget, they don't want to do. Is that, what advice do you have to those guys who, whether they weren't socialized to do this when they were boys or young men, who just don't want to do these things? What are the possible risks of not doing?
Can you please pass the mic to me when you're done, please? I really want to answer this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But Lakia, you first, and then Alfred, please.
Okay, sure. I mean, I think, honestly, the risks are huge. One, you have an unhappy wife, okay? And Alfred, I'm pretty sure you can understand this. An unhappy wife is a miserable one, meaning she's going to make your life miserable.
Yeah.
So if you haven't showed up in the way that she needs you, meaning I know she's sharing her needs, I know she's telling you what she wants from you, and you're not listening, then just get ready to be in a very unhappy, unhealthy relationship, because somebody's needs, they're not feeling loved. They're feeling neglected. They're feeling unheard. And that's a lot of resentment that comes from that. So that's the risk right there. And any man know that they'd rather sit on top of the house than to deal with a woman who got an untamed tongue or who's miserable. So that's one risk.
Alfred?
Yeah, so, I do want to, I wouldn't say defend the men, because I definitely think these are things that, you need to work on. However, I'm an artist, so I'm always thinking in these grandioso type of thoughts, but I definitely think men in general, like some of them won't have the capacity, the mental capacity to think of these things. Some of them don't have the time to think of it, some of, and they need to make time for it. But then some of them aren't even creative enough to do these type of things. So, with that being said, I just think that, they definitely need help sometimes to make these things happen. Me, I'm an artist, so it's kind of easy for me. But I know some brothers who don't even know where to start when it comes to being romantic, because that just wasn't what they were taught. As youngins, we were, we weren't taught about romance. We were taught about, getting bodies or something like that, but not necessarily, wooing a woman, So, yes, I just want to say that I think brothers need some help in that department.
I'm less likely to let them off the hook, but I will let you have that, Alfred, because there's just so, there's just so much stuff on the internet. Please go right ahead.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. And it's okay to ask.
Yeah.
Like, have the conversation. Let her know. And see, when you have that safe space in your relationship where you can honestly say, look, baby, I don't know what you want. I don't want to buy you the wrong thing and you don't like it, or I don't want to do the wrong thing. Have the conversation. I've had to teach my husband how to buy things for me, how to do things for me, because of the capacity that wasn't there. Or because he was just thinking he could do the, dinner and a movie type thing. Okay, hold on, baby. We've been together for a long time. That's getting real old and stale. Let's go ahead and change it up a little bit. And when I was able to communicate my needs, he listened. He started researching. He started asking people. So it's there. The opportunity is there, but just have the conversation. Don't be afraid to ask, what do you want?
I think also, because I'm still here, y'all. I just wanted to
jump in. I know you had to breathe a minute. Go right ahead. Sure.
I think one of the things that we haven't talked about is really understanding your partner's love language. Like, so for me, my love language is acts of service. So something very sexy and romantic to me is me coming home and the kitchen is clean and the living room is, all the pillows are on the couch and it smells good. It smells good and the candles are lit and the laundry is put away, or, you know, those type of things. I'm like, oh my God, he must want like a real good night tonight. You know, like that type of stuff makes me really happy. So, but if I was to come home and the house is a mess and he has a Chanel bag sitting on the bar, that's not going to make me super happy. I'll be like, oh, this is nice, but you couldn't clean the dishes. Like those are the type of things that are important to me. And I know for him, his are words of affirmation. And so if he just did something really cool and I tell him, oh, baby, look, I got us a new bedspread, or I got you something for the car, he'll be looking at me like, didn't you just see that I just accomplished something? You're not even going to speak on that. And so I think really understanding who your partner is and what really gets them going. And I think that those are conversations that people lack, and they let it fall by the wayside because they don't think it's really important. But love languages are absolutely important.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I do believe that love language test is very telling, and it'll say a lot. And, you know, to your point, Sherelle, what advice would you give newlyweds? Because you all are out of that space now. So what advice would you give newly wedded couples to make sure, you know, because after, you know, after the dust settled from Forever Duncan and everybody forgot about it, you know, for the most part, then it was just you and Alfred.
Yeah, it got real.
I think it got super real. And that was a part of the reason why we had a vow renewal. Our fourth year of marriage was our hardest year of marriage. It was super hard. I just had a baby. And we weren't expecting that. Our schedules had changed, and we started to lose each other. Like she said, we started to lose each other, and we had to get back. And so one of the things that we had to do was recognize that there was a problem. Recognize and be totally accountable for the things that you did. And if you are unsure of the things that you did, you may need a therapist to talk to you, to try to work you through what's going on. Why are you feeling like this? What are you thinking? You know, what are your thoughts telling you? Are your thoughts telling you something and creating narratives and things like that? And so I think the major thing is being held accountable in your marriage and holding yourself accountable and being able to have difficult conversations of, yes, we're having a problem. We need to fix this. We need a resolution. We can't just suppress this and say, all right, it's okay, we good, it's never going to happen again. No, how can we fix this so that it doesn't, so that we don't have to go through it in this way? And that's for me and my husband. We definitely had to hold each other accountable. We definitely had to recognize the problem, and we definitely had to be willing to say, I was wrong in this, and this is how I'm going to change. And not only say that, but actually show that and be very present in your marriage to not make the same mistake twice. Because like he said before, we're coming into this thing and we've already had our own separate lives, but now we have to merge our lives with each other. And we have to understand that this person is not the same as you. And so just understanding how to hold each other accountable and being able to say that I was wrong and I'm going to change this, and really doing it and being present in your marriage. Mm.
For those who are not married, Lakia, but who want to be, because it seems that the big news, the thing that's so heavily prevalent on social media is what's happening in the dating space, apps and the like, you know, particularly people who are over 30, you know, over 40. And if I see one more TikTok video of a woman saying, he asked me what I brought to the table, and I say, and she says, I am the table. I say, what's the table made out of? I mean, is it made out of paper? Is it plywood? Is it plastic?
It's one of those fake card tables, Harold.
You know, is it a folding table that you just stick in the trunk? You know, yeah. I mean, it just to me, Lakia, it just seems that the dating world is so adversarial, and the expectations are so offensively high.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that, because I know we're gonna lose you in about 4 minutes. But
So this is the thing, though, Harold. I honestly, my single ladies, they rock with me. They love what I'm putting down, but they don't like my advice.
Really?
A lot of times, they don't like my advice. That's why I give them one thing to run with. One, I tell them to make sure they're preparing for what they're praying for. So that means really understanding who you are, making sure you're whole and you're not looking for a man to complete you. That's first. The second piece of advice I give them that they normally run away from is, your Prince Charming might be Shrek. They don't like that advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because that means that he's going to come in a different package. He may be right there in your face, but because you're so head on, he has to have this amount of money in his bank account, or he has to drive this car, you're so superficial that you're missing somebody that you can build with. You're missing somebody that can make you a better woman. So that's what I offer my single people. They don't normally like that, Harold. They don't like it, y'all. So I just tell them, look, once you find him, then come to me, and I can make sure you become the wife that you need to be.
What would you tell the men, Lakia?
The single men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, man. It's tough out there, Alfred. Look, I mean, the advice for the single, my thing is, again, what is it that she can't just be cute with a nice figure? It has to be something about, can this woman raise my children? Can this woman make me a better man? Like, I think we have to start looking beyond just today and this whole happily ever after. This is supposed to be forever. Like, so we're supposed to be able to build legacies together. We're supposed to have, you know, everybody should be their own power couple in their own right. Can she not just add to my life but complement my life? And it should go both ways. Like, we're sharp environment. So we should be getting better together. It can't just be for now. We got to look at the future. And I think a lot of times it's superficial because we just see right now.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Alfred?
I think she's totally correct. I'm a firm believer in, you know, everything gets old. You know, I tell my wife that all the time. Everything gets old. And so when I grow old with my wife, you know, I want to be comfortable enough to sit in silence and we cool. Like, but I also want to be able to have conversations with her that, you know, remind me of our friendship. And how much we work together and so forth and so on. Because, I mean, you know, the body, my body included, you know, will not look the same 20, 30 years ago. I mean, to be honest with you, some of my parts may not even work. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be mentally attached. You have to be more than just sexually compatible in order to have something that's forever, you know? And that is what drew me to my wife. You know, my wife is a beautiful woman, and she has an amazing body, but more importantly, she has an amazing soul and an amazing personality, and I'm in love with that more than I am with the body.
Yeah, we don't want you to be the 50 Cent of your relationship, man. We, you know. I know, that was a Super Bowl joke. Lakia Brandenburg, thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate having you on. And,
thank you.
You know, come back anytime. We need to have you on much, much more often. But, look, happy Valentine's Day to you, Lakia.
Thank you, good people. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you, Lakia.
So, back to our loving couples. You know, one of the things, and I said in the very beginning that you two are, you know, my heroes. And I think you really spoke to this, you know, Alfred and Sherelle, you can speak to this too, is that, and I know this may seem oversimplified, but the thing I really like about you two is that you like each other. You know, I know you love each other and, you know, and she's Foine, F-O-I-N-E, you know, and you call him Black because, you know, it's the richness of the coffee bean with the oil sheen and, you know, he's got the, I get all of that and he's trying to keep it together and, but one of the things that I would say about the two of you that outside the love and the sexual desire and the passion is that you genuinely like each other. Sherelle, talk to me about what that means.
It means so much. My husband is so great at making me laugh and just having fun and just talking to him about anything and him being open to hear it. And he's so funny and he's so creative, and I can't get enough of him being an engineer in every aspect of his life, and being so creative and being able to make me laugh even if he doesn't feel good, and being able to have fun in like the smallest things he'll do. And we'll be in a room full of 100, 1,000 people, and I'll look across the room and we'll just start laughing, and we know what we're laughing at, but we don't even know how we know that we're laughing at the same thing. And that means a lot to me, because I have a very strong personality, and for me to have somebody that can match that and not have to dim his light, it's an amazing experience. And I really wish that a lot of my sisters could, all of my sisters could experience that level of like, and not even just the love, but the like, because it feels good to be liked. It really, really does. And it's extremely important, because you can love me, right? You can love me because God says so. But if you like me, that's your actual choice. Like, you're choosing to like me. Like, you don't have to. And he chooses to like me. Every single, well, I don't know if he liked me every single day. I don't like him every single day. I don't like him every day, but most days, really like him. Most days, I really like him.
Yeah, talk to me about that friendship, Alfred, which is, you know, part of that liking, because I would argue that, no, you may not like her every single day, but the friendship is the thing, that loving friendship, but you know, the foundation of friendship is the thing that I would imagine keeps you coming back.
Yes. That's my homie. Like, that is really my best friend. And I can't envision, you know, like, experiences without her. So, like, our friendship is just so important to our relationship. And it's a testament to our vulnerability, to be honest with you, because we're so safe with each other that we can share our thoughts and don't worry about the other person using or weaponizing it. And that right there really creates a space for us to just really reveal truly who we are. And the blessing in it is that we like what we're revealing. Like, I like what she's revealing to me, and she likes what I'm revealing to her. Even if it's something, you know, dark, or something that, you know, some trauma from the past, it's not something that we frowned upon. It's something that, yo, this is a part of who you are, but I like it. You know, I like it.
Yeah, and I can help you heal if you need to heal through that.
Yeah, so the vulnerability part is, like, it is so special. The friendship is just so special. And, like, we actually have a podcast called Friends Who Smash.
And
yeah, we got a podcast. And in this podcast, because the reason why we started the podcast, to be honest with you, is because I don't think that there is enough conversation about real marriage. Like, we tell all of the fairy tale stuff, but in this podcast, we tell all of our business. You know, we tell about the hard times. We tell about the good times. We tell about the laughs. We tell about the cries. Because I think people need to know that this is what marriage is really about. It's not really about, you know, fairy tales and, oh my God, I'm gonna like her every day, because that's not gonna be the case. But we can get through it by just being transparent and just talking to each other and just continuing to love on each other. So, yeah.
Friends, who came up with that title?
I did.
Yeah, my wife did.
See, you know.
Because Harold, let me just tell you, and I know we on a time thing, but let me just explain to you real quick. And
yeah,
I know,
no, please,
you say I'm long-winded.
Please do, because that's why we can't take you out in public.
But here's the thing. So Friends Who Smash, yes, is it has a sexual connotation to it, but however, it's smashing goals, smashing the trials and tribulation of life, like just smashing everything and like killing it. So I didn't want to say Friends Who Kill. So I was like, you know what, let's just do smash. Let's do a play on words. And of course, when people hear, they're going to think about sex. And yes, that's true. But I'm talking about everything. We're smashing everything together, because that's what we signed up to do.
I get it. And
We love the response, though. That's awesome.
Harold is definitely going to always be super honest with us, and that's why it's always a good time with Harold. I'm telling you.
I would like to ask, and I think, you know, Lakia spoke about this a little bit earlier, but, you know, you two are also people of faith.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, and this is in any faith, and people can criticize this, but talk to me about how important it is to pursue that dimension of your relationship together, Sherelle.
We were just talking about this earlier. Faith is so important because it always comes back to that. Everything, our ups, our downs, the exciting moments, happiness, it always comes back to how faithful we were in this thing and each other, and how God will always, always be there to cover us. And we always have to know that and believe that no matter how dark it gets, and even when the fog is there, we know that something is brewing in that fog, because the fog comes to show us that God is still faithful no matter what. And so my husband and I are a praying couple beyond, you know, I know people probably don't believe that because, you know, friends who smash, but that's not my business for that. But we pray all the time. I just went into prayer for him today. I just text like 20 people asking them to cover my husband in prayer just because I knew he needed it, you know, and I knew that when one or two come together, then it's going to be a massive outpouring of blessings and love from God. And so I am very serious about covering my husband in prayer, and he's very serious about covering me in prayer, and always believing that our marriage is deeply rooted in our faith in God and the hope that we give to the community.
I think that is a great way to end this relationship. Show. Look at me. I'm all up in it. You said you had a baby, boy, girl?
A little girl. Her name is Royal Sage. She'll be 2 on February 28th.
There you go. Many, many lessons for her as well. Alfred and Sherelle Duncan, God bless you. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Harold.
Thank you, Harold.
And we also want to thank Lakia Brandenburg for sharing with us as well. Wow. I mean, hey, what a Valentine's Day. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, February 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, everybody.